What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And I would say to you that sometimes ministry is messy, and sometimes we just want to label people and be done with them. But today we see that we serve a Savior that was willing to help a guy who wasn't really that friendly, who wasn't really the person that others would have said is essential. But you see, to Jesus, everybody is essential.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Essential Wisdom of James.
Well, today, more than ever, we need the wisdom that comes from above. Since I came to Lancaster, when I was a younger pastor, beginning at age 24, I knew how much I needed God's wisdom. And I put on my daily prayer list something that has never been taken off, and that is James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And so every day I have said, Lord, would you give me wisdom to be the pastor you want me to be today? And every day I ask God for wisdom, and you would think that years later you would have all of the answers, but how many of you have learned that in life there are situations that come up time and again, and you realize, I've got to go back to the well of God's wisdom today to learn how to best deal with this situation or that situation. James is the one who teaches us concerning our need for wisdom. And here we see this morning James in this passage as the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Now, in the past few weeks, all of us have seen and heard about the hurt, and many in this room have felt the hurt related to racism and prejudice. It's something that is very deep, something that is very hurtful for many in our society. And while there have been subversive organizations, I would say organizations that are not the friend of the family, the government, or the church, that have attached themselves to the issue, and while there have been looters that have come around the issue, the fact is that in our land, there is a great need for healing today. And I believe the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ to be the keys for the healing of a man's hurting heart. In fact, I believe the church should lead the way in showing the example of how people can come together in peace. And I believe we've seen that in this church for many decades now. As a church, we condemn racism. It is the opposite of our command from our commander-in-chief, who has told us to go into all the world and to reach every creature with the gospel. You cannot be an obedient Christian and a racist simultaneously, because Jesus Christ commands us to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, historically, the church, and I mean the early church, has always been very diverse. And it is because Jesus commands that everyone would hear the gospel and have the opportunity to be saved. And to give you a little illustration, I want you to look at Acts 13, just a few pages back in your Bible. And I want you just to see one of the very first churches. It is the church, in fact, where people were first called Christians. And I want you to see what the Bible tells us about this church. It says, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, we'll not take time to study this chapter, but to take that one verse, we find that Antioch was an international church. Barnabas was from Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean, not far from modern-day Israel. Simeon and Lucius were from Africa, Lucius in particular from modern-day Libya. Manaen had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He was from Palestine. And Saul, of course, was of Jewish descent. What do we find in that very early moment of the gospel? We find that when Jesus Christ is lifted up, all different kinds of people will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 15, we read that some of the believers from Jerusalem had come down to Antioch to meet the believers there. And in fact, the Bible tells us that those that came to visit, some of them were formerly called Jewish Pharisees and still were Pharisees, but now they were believing Pharisees. In fact, we read that verse number 1, certain of these men came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren and said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Now, we're going to learn this morning that there was a terrible, terrible prejudice between the Jews and the Gentiles. It was so heavy that they did not even want to allow the Gentiles into the church unless they became Jewish by way of circumcision. They were that prejudiced against even believing that the Gentiles could have actually been saved. They were questioning the salvation of the Gentiles simply because they were Gentiles. In fact, they said you cannot be saved unless you follow these ceremonial rituals. So as they were there, the Bible tells us that Paul and Barnabas began to dispute with those that had come from Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that they were disputing against this. In verse number 2, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. For those of us that get discouraged when Christians have disagreements, we find that they had disagreements even in the early church, but we're also going to find how they resolved those disagreements. So what is going to take place is that the churches of Galatia, such as the church of Antioch, are going to send Paul and Barnabas up to Jerusalem, which was the place where Pastor James was presiding, and there was going to be there a council, we call it the Jerusalem Council. And this morning, we're going to study the Jerusalem Council, and we're going to see how the council dealt with the problem of racism and prejudice amongst early Christians. So let's take a look at this morning. I want to give you a brief outline and then 7 biblical ways that Christians can respond to racism. I want you to notice, first of all, the rise of prejudice from the Jerusalem church. It actually came from the believing Pharisees. Verse number 1, we read that a moment ago. These were men that were Pharisees but had converted to Christ. And these Pharisees were rejecting the Gentiles unless they became Jewish in the ceremonial traditions. Now, the Jews hated the Gentiles. And I want you to know that human hatred is not new. In fact, it has been with us since the very first family. How many of you can say Cain and Abel, right? Sin and anger has been present since the early family. And we see that the Jewish hatred was something that was so strong that if a Jew bought a piece of pottery from a Gentile, they would ceremonially cleanse it and set it aside before they would ever use it because it came from the filthy Gentiles. They would never go into the home of a Gentile. They did everything they could to avoid walking where Gentiles walked. They literally hated the Gentiles. And so we see that these Pharisees from Jerusalem, first of all, were wrong in their spirit. This is not the spirit of Christ who said, "Ye shall know my disciples by their love." But not only were they wrong in their spirit, they were wrong in their theology. Because they said, notice this in verse 1, if you're not circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be, what's the next word say? Saved. And the word saved means to be redeemed and to have your sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven. They were so prejudiced that they said, if you don't become like us Jews, then you're not even really a Christian. They were theologically wrong. And so these believers from Jerusalem were allowing prejudice to remain in their heart that was present before salvation, but God is now going to deal with them that this was not his will. Now, this prejudice was specifically toward a man named Simeon, we'll see about him in a moment, and the Gentiles from Antioch. And this racism that they were expressing had become very institutionalized. It was systemic in the Jewish race toward the Gentiles. Even in Acts chapter 10, Peter himself had to receive a vision from the Lord in order to understand that a man named Cornelius could truly be saved. And Cornelius was saved, and he was baptized, and Peter became the preacher to the Gentile world. But this was an amazing paradigm shift that was taking place. And that brings me to this thought. Everybody here this morning is on a journey. Everybody here should continue to grow. And none of us can say we know how someone else feels. No one else can say how we feel. But even Peter, the great apostle, needed a heavenly vision to understand that Gentiles could be saved. Even these Pharisees who knew so many verses needed to realize that they were sinning in their heart. And I can testify in my own life, I've listened to many in order to learn and to understand and to be able to better minister. And all of us need to have that teachable spirit. And so we see the rise of prejudice. It wasn't seen necessarily by the Jewish believers, but it was seen by everybody else. Notice, secondly, the review of the church. So this problem is now going to be brought from the Galatian churches. They're going to come back with Paul and Barnabas to the Jerusalem church. And I want you to notice what happens beginning in verse number 8. Verse 6 says, the apostles and elders come together to consider the matter. And verse 8 says, and God, which knoweth hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, I want you to notice how the problem is being dealt with. One of the things that grieves me is to see professing Christians dealing with problems in an unscriptural way. We see the way to deal with a problem is to go to the Bible, to get together with mature believers, and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to gain understanding, love, and peace. So oftentimes, the world would rather build up and foment anger and cause people to become further divided. And here we see that they came together to the church. They were going to look to Christ and the counsel of the Word. Friends, do you recognize this morning that we should never be guilted into a position? We should never look for human persuasion. A man persuaded against his will is unpersuaded still. It's not going to work when we simply try to force a position, whether that's through some form of anger, some form of petition. What must happen in this arena is that God must change the hearts of men. And that can only happen through his word. That is why churches and Christians do not write intimidating letters. We sit down and read from the word of God. And this is what Peter did. Peter begins to expound and he begins to teach. And yes, they were disputing, but it was in the sense of coming to know the mind of God.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.